My name is Moshe. I'm an addict. I always have an issue with the anonymity kind of part of this, because with a name like Moshe, I'm not anonymous. You can look me up any place. Who would choose that name? I'm going to start with the 10th tradition, because I'm not really a gossipy person in general. I'm just not. I've never been that type of person. And it all starts with my first meeting. I was at a point, let me qualify first. So my clean date is September 4th, 2004. I have a sponsor who might be around here someplace. He's got a sponsor. I've worked the best steps. I've kind of got installed on step 6. I have a home group. I have done a lot of service. I haven't done service for about 2 weeks now, but before that I had service positions for the past 4 years straight. I have a higher power. I talk to that higher power often. You know, when I came in here, I was like everybody else. I was beaten. I was done. I needed to detox, but I didn't think that was for me, so I detoxed in the rooms. And I'm from Chicago, too, so I'm not an East Coaster at all. My first meeting was a miracle. To me, it was. Because I didn't know what Narcotics Anonymous was. I didn't know what you people were going to do to me or for me. I knew that I was afraid of everything. I was at the bottom. I had nothing left. And I was a mess. I was the messiest I've ever been in my life. And I didn't know where else to go. And what I love is that, we've heard about it, that gift of desperation. Thank you for that desperation, because that got me to my first meeting. If I was not at that point, I would have never thought, let me walk into a room of strangers and sit down with them. It would have never occurred to me. So it was a Saturday. It's about 9:30, 9:40, and the first meeting I went to is called the Saturday Night Live. It's still around. It's in Chicago. It's near Belmont and Halsted. You've been? It's at the Alano Club, and I was so afraid. I was sweating, and it's right near the L track, so I get off the train, and I'm looking at the buildings as I'm going by, trying to find the number, and I'm sorry, I'm going to get emotional because I love this part of my story. I was outside of a door, and I couldn't read the numbers, and there were three people standing outside the door, and I said to one of them, like, is there some kind of meeting upstairs? And I mind you, I hadn't had my drug of choice for a couple days, so I'm shaking and I'm sweating and I'm a mess. And the guy says, "Hey, brother, come on in." And he gives me this hug at Belmont and Austin outside the train tracks. And I'm like, "Why are you touching me?" So that was the first part. And then he's like, "This is my girl, Eileen, and this is my friend John." And so it's like, "Are you new? Are you?" I'm like, "No." He says, "Have you been here before?" And I said, "No, I haven't been here before." And he says, "Well, welcome. It's right upstairs. And let me give you my number." And he writes, I'll never forget, he wrote, "Call before you use." And then he wrote his number. And I'll never forget that. And then he handed it to Eileen, and Eileen gave me her number. And then he handed it to John, and John gave me his number. I had no idea this is what you do in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I had no idea. I had three hugs and three numbers before I even walked into my first meeting. I love it. Oh. I mean, and so at that point I was so desperate I would have done anything once I got here. It didn't even matter. But what I love is when I got here, y'all weren't talking about the oil slick, or you weren't talking about Palestine, you weren't talking about religious right, you weren't talking about the presidential election, you weren't talking about any of that stuff. It was all about recovery. I love the fact that I could walk in here and I felt safe. I mean, it meant everything. My space is very important to me. I love feeling safe. When I close that door, I love feeling safe. And I love the fact that there was no opinions on anything else except what was already said and what was said last night, what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. Because I needed help. And before I even knew that that was what you were doing, I already had help before I even walked into the room. If our purpose, it says in the other traditions, if our purpose was to, you know, educate people, we'd have a bunch of smart acts, but we'd have a bunch of dead ones too, and we wouldn't be sitting here. And I really appreciate the fact that we separated ourselves, and that I didn't have to worry about you bringing your religious beliefs here. You know, not in my first meetings. And I say there's anything wrong with any of your religious beliefs, but I love that when people did that in my first meetings, they shut it down. They said, you know, we're not about that. It's about this basic text. You know, it's about what's in this book. That's our program of recovery. That's how we save lives. It meant everything to me, because I'm not necessarily an organized religion person. But now at that moment, let me be clear, I was desperate enough, I didn't care. It made no difference to me. But once I stayed around for a little bit, I got it. And I valued it more. So, to that end, what I did, when I got clean, people brought their basic texts to meetings a lot, like the Bible, so I kind of got used to that. So I did it, and I did it too. And so I brought my first basic text here, and I had a little spiritual moment today because first of all, this book means a lot to me, just period. But I'm a studious person. I like to read books and go to school, and I've always been that kind of person. Didn't stop me from using a whole bunch, but, you know, did not stop me from using. So when I first got clean, I got this book, and I wrote all in it. Like, these are my notes from the first meetings I went to. My clean day is September 4th, 2004. So I have notes in here from December 18th, 2004, from September 25th, 2004. I mean, the first feelings I really felt are in this book. So when I look at it, I get real emotional. It brings back a lot of stuff. And I'm glad that I did it, because I felt that this is how I was going to listen to what you guys said. This is how I was going to remember it. I like to look at what I'm reading. And so I just want to read a couple of things, because I went to a lot of speaker meetings. And this is what I heard. People said, it all starts with a thought. The difference is that now I know who is talking. Let's see another one. It says, procrastination is like masturbation. You do it to yourself. You know? You know? So the reason I read these is because these weren't my words. These were your words. That's what I love. I didn't come in here with this, but I left with this. I mean, it's a tangible thing to me, recovery. Is this something that we learn and we use day to day? And that's why when I look at this book, it's, you know, the names Ray G and DeQuita and Bernie, and these people saved my life just like they saved your lives. And that's why those first few days of recovery were magic to me. They were magic, because when I listened to you guys, I believed it. I believed something other than me, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal for an addict like me. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust you, but this book, this program, I learned to trust. I learned to listen. And I needed that when I came into recovery. Because I didn't even realize that I was drug sick. I didn't realize that detox was for me. Remember, I said I detoxed in the rooms. I didn't realize that, you know, 28 days in a controlled environment would have been good for me. That would have been a real help. Instead, I'm running the bathroom and all this stuff, and shaking and sweating, and I didn't know what was wrong, and it was just a lot. I was a mess. So the 10th step is important. I'm not a gossipy person, like I said before, to me the 10th tradition is about, we don't really care about what another group is doing or what other areas are doing. We keep it about recovery. So with that, the 10th step is interesting. So I'm gonna start off with. So it says, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So I'm just going to start where I want to with this step, because I think you guys all understand it to a certain extent. I'll talk about what I don't like about the 10th step. This is what I don't like. For real. I don't like that when I read that, I feel like I am an emotional cripple. Like I'm an emotional handicapped person. And I hate that idea. I hate the fact that everything I do, I have to make sure I don't trip, make sure I don't bring you down with me. I have to make sure that all these things, all these ducks are in a row so that I can live my fucking life. I don't like that. I'm serious. It annoys me. And that's that addict. And I don't want to, I'm trying not to share the mess. I'm trying to share the message. That's the part I don't like. But I realize, you know, it's one thing to be emotionally crippled. That on itself is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens with me is I take you down with me. I leave a wake behind me. I hurt people. I lie. I steal things. I like doing those things. And I like having a reason to do all those things. And it all stems from me not being able to deal with who I am and how I feel. You know, and that's the truth. That's the part I don't want to tell people, is that at the end of the day, when I'm out of pocket, something's happening. Something's going down. Someone's going to pay for the fact that I have this feeling, unless I do some work. And you know, let me be really honest. So I will tell you that I don't like drama. I will say that I'm not a messy person, but I love drama, and I get messy real quick. And it's in my way, yeah. But if you talk to my sponsor, he'll be like, Moshe, shut up, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? You do love it. You do love when things are out of pocket. You love it because you can justify all of the outrageous shit you do. And then move on and say, well, it wasn't my fault. It was their fault. You know, and that's what I like about, that's where the recovery comes in. And notice I mentioned my sponsor. Because on a daily basis, I get a chance to look really at who I am. How do I feel? What happens when I don't really think about the 10th step is I just feel junky inside. This is what recovery has given me. Recovery has given me a conscience. It's given me this wonderful life. It's given me, you know, I'm here. But when I stay away from recovery too long, I just feel weird. I don't know how to even describe it. You know, emotions still baffle me 10 years in. Let me be clear. I still don't get emotions. I still wonder why I have them. But I realize that I do have them, and I do have to deal with them. And so here, 10 years in, I realize I have to do a little bit of work, and I have to listen to that little piece of me that says, Moshe, something is wrong. Something is very wrong with you. What could that be? It's usually a feeling. That's why I don't like emotions either. I'll be honest. That's why I don't like emotions, because I don't get them. They happen regardless of what I do. Emotions just happen to every person all the time. You know, and what I loved about using, to tell you the truth, what I loved about using is that it didn't matter. At the end of the day, whatever was in that bag was going to take away a little bit. And that's why I used. And so little, by coming to meetings and by working the steps, I get a chance to reflect on the moment. In the moment, I get to reflect on the last hour. I get to reflect on the last 3 hours. Now, when I was out there, I reflected on, well, did I get mine from you or you? Because you had the bad shit, and I want the good. You know, that was the most reflection that I would do. Now, I get a chance to day to day ask myself simple questions, actually, and I'm going to keep it NA-centered. I have, it's funny, I was going through all this. I have all these, and again, we had a lot of literature. I keep all these, these are some of the first pamphlets I ever got, IPs I got, with numbers on them. I just love stuff. Like, I'm not a real pack rat, but when it comes to this, it makes a big difference. I mean, tons of numbers. But there's the IP number 9, Living the Program. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but this was my first 10th step. My first 10th step was I had to answer these questions every day. Oh, somebody did okay. So I had to answer these questions every day for like 90 days or something like that. So I had a big stack of these all over. But again, the stuff that did the trick for me then, the stuff that kept me clean then keeps me clean now. And what I love about this step is that it keeps me clean on the inside. I remember this guy was doing literature, and I'm not even going to try to imitate him, but he said, he did a literature, and he said, you know, if you like an It Works How and Why book, you know, it costs, you know, $8, $9, and, you know, if you get this and read this, it'll clean out all this on the inside. I remember that. I was like, God, I want that. I want that so bad. I want to be clean on the inside, because I'm used to making this look okay. I'm used to speaking articulately. I'm used to getting the good grades and getting in the newspaper. I'm used to that. What I really want, I just want to be clean. I want to be good in here. I want to be good in here. And that's why I keep all this stuff, because without it, I would have never had a clue about how to do it, because not only did I get the literature, but you gave me numbers and said, if you don't understand something, give me a call. You said that. I would have never thought, oh, I'm not going to give you my number. Not unless you were a trick or unless you were the man. You had what I had, or you had what I wanted. You know, so little things like this. Like, I ask myself simple questions like, am I clean? Did I go to a meeting? Did I talk to my sponsor? Did I read some literature? It's all in here. I ain't making up. That's, do I owe any amends today? Amends for what? And to who? That's the better question. To who? Because I have a mouth. I have a mouth on me. And I'm not always proud of what comes out of my mouth. And sometimes I'll say things and forget that I said them. For real. I don't try to forget. I just forget. And people will be like, it comes back. Well, remember when you said... And I'll be like, oh, did I say that? That kind of sounds like me. So I have to watch. I have to watch what I say, because I don't have the best memory. I did a lot of drugs. I don't have the best memory. I don't. So I have to realize that in the moment, especially at work. At work, I want to light you on fire all the time. All the time. I always think I know better. I always think that you're stupider than I am, and I always think that I should be the boss, period. So I have some issues, some real issues. And I don't like a lot of authority. I've never liked authority a whole bunch. So I learned that in the moment, stop. It says in the basic step, the basic text, the first thing you do is stop. That's important for me, because I can have all the thoughts in the world go through my head, and I'll be just about to say it. I mean, just about to. But if I say that first word, I know I'm off to the races. I know I am. I have very explosive anger. I'm not proud of it, and it's gotten a lot better. But if I make that first, say that one sentence to you, I will either make it count by loading the words that I need to into it, or just simply the tone. The tone will do the damage. I'm a singer and actor by trade, so I can use my voice very effectively. So I know that the damage that I can do. And you know, and then sometimes I'm proud of it. Sometimes I do dirty, I do shit, and I'm glad I did it. But what I love about this step, is that when I first started working the step, I started realizing after I did that stuff that I was that I wanted to be real proud of. There was part of me that felt real bad about it. And I didn't want to talk about that. I didn't want to think about it. It might have just been a grain of sand in my shoe. And after a while, I would feel it after every step I took. And it would feel worse and cause me more pain. And all of a sudden, I'm lashing out at people. I'm angry for no reason. All of a sudden, I'm staying up at night. All of a sudden, I'm not eating right. And we have a situation. That's what that's called. Moshe's got a situation on his hands. You know, I love this step because I have a chance, day to day, moment to moment, to just rid myself of this stuff. To just talk about it. I didn't even realize how much talking about an issue helped. Okay, when I first got clean, before I got clean, I was at this, what I now realize is outpatient treatment. I fooled myself into thinking that I was not an outpatient treatment. I was an outpatient treatment. So my therapist says, she's like, you know, you should go. And she was this, you know, really pretty lesbian, and she was really, really proper. She said, you know, you should just go to a meeting. And if when people are helping you, they're helping themselves. And she said things like, you know, you go and you talk about things as a group. I said, what the hell do I want to talk about my issues in a group of people? Why on earth would I do that? Why is that even a thing? You know, I don't want to listen to their problems. What the hell makes me think they want to listen to mine? That was my attitude. That was my thinking. I didn't realize that by coming here and talking about how things really worked, what's really going on. That's such a DC saying. What's really going on? That's what I hear all the time. I never got that. But getting to the exact nature of that, I not only, when I hear you do it, first of all, I want that. when I hear you really get off of some stuff, I'm an envious, jealous person. I'm like, I want that freedom. I want that recovery. That's a motivator for me. But it also gives me a vocabulary. Now I can talk about what's going on. I know the words to use. I can hear it in your voice when you're getting sincere, when you're going real, real deep. I love that. I want that. I want that. And I'm not going to get it unless I work a program, unless I stay vigilant, as John talked about already, unless I really take a moment to just say, what's happening inside? What am I really feeling? Because sometimes I just don't get it. Emotions baffle me. I still don't understand why we have them, but I realize that no matter what, I do. We all do. You know, it's a human thing. And in a friend of mine in recovery in Miami, I went to graduate school in Miami for 2 years, and I was talking about some love affair gone wrong. And I was like, you know what, I just want to turn it off. I just want to not think about all this stuff, but it's all I can think about. I just, you know what, I'm just going to go and I'm just going to stop thinking about this stuff. I just don't feel like it. He said, Moshe, you are not a robot. You do not have an on and off switch. I will never forget that, because I still want to turn it off. When things are painful, ooh, I want to turn it off. I want to turn it all off. Well, the flip side of that is I realize that when I'm feeling good, I want to turn it off. And that's sad. Talk about an insidious disease. You know, I remember, I don't even remember, it was probably my first anniversary, second anniversary, but it was a really good one. I think it was my first anniversary, and I was in Chicago around all the people I got clean with, and you know, they do a little bit different. It's more low-key there. But I remember my sponsor was there, my network was there, and I had a service commitment at my home group, and it was just, I felt, for the first time in my life, genuinely, I felt full. Full is a feeling. That's an emotion. I never felt like when you can barely breathe and your chest feels like it's, I didn't know what that meant. I never felt anything like that. I didn't know what to do with it. I thought it was a bad thing. You know? I thought, oh God, I'm going to get off of this, you know. But even that, even that was too much for me, you know. I know emotions can take me one way or the other. I use when I felt bad, I use when I felt good. Either way, I felt I always had to use. You know, now I can say, wow, that feels good. That feels real. I feel real good. And I might feel a little awkward. I might feel a little strange even feeling that good. But I know I don't have to use. My first sponsor said, he would say, wow, that feels great. An addict thinks, that feels great. How can I make it better? How can I get some more of that? You know, and I'm automatically like that. So either way it goes one way. I can be so excited, I'll just assume that you're excited as I am, and I'll say something stupid out the side of my neck. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'll cause some damage. You know, so that brings me to the other part. Am I almost done? Okay. The other part that I want to talk about is the promptly admitted it part. So getting back to what I don't like about the 10th step. So I realized this a couple of days ago, that I don't like apologizing to you to your face. I don't like how I feel when I have to look you in the eye and say, I apologize. I will not do that again. I don't like that feeling. So it's easier to do it on Facebook or via text. In fact, I'm really sorry about that. You know, send emoji with a little, like, you know, colon and not currency. But I realize I don't like doing that, so I don't do that anymore. But it's hard for me to. I don't like that sense of humility that I feel. I don't like it. It's a good thing for me, but it's I don't like it. And I don't like that sense of shame that I get, because again, I still want to be inhuman. I still want to think that I'm perfect, and I don't make mistakes. So when I have to, you know, I see why. When a lot of times when you feel sorry for something, you look down. It's hard to look someone in the eye and say, I'm sorry. Especially when you did them wrong. Genuinely, you did them a real wrong. You know, I love the steps that come before this, because I got a chance to test that out. I got a chance to make some real amends to some people who really deserved to be treated better, and they deserved an apology. So now, by doing this daily inventory, when I apologize, it's usually not for stuff that's that bad. You know, for a little example, and I was wondering, I'm like, what am I going to share about when I talk about the 10th step? Then, of course, my higher power, as always, gives me a 10th step example to share with you, which I will right now. So the story should be called Beef Broth. I have a partner, and, you know, he is, you remember The Odd Couple? He's Oscar, and I'm Felix. He is the messy one, I am the clean one, and it drives me crazy all the time, but I'm trying to find some acceptance. So he buys stuff at the store, and he'll buy a whole bunch of it, not realizing that we have a bunch already. So he bought a bunch of beef broth, and we have like 2 gallons of beef broth in our house, and it annoys me, and we don't have any place to put it, so it's like I see it every single day. So before I leave, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go to the store before I go to Ocean City. What should I pick up? And he says, I don't know. How about some beef broth? It's 7 o'clock in the morning. We didn't sleep well. And I said, beef broth? We have a whole bunch of beef broth. It's right there. He says, where? I'm like, it's right in front of you. You're looking right at it. And I move these bottles out of the way. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I just woke up. I'm like, we have a whole bunch of beef broth. We don't need any beef broth. And he says, All right, chill, damn. And see, but this is when the basic text comes in handy. It says the first thing we do is stop. Thank you, God. Because I ain't say shit after that. I ain't say nothing. I was like, oh, right, okay, and I had to wait, and I felt awkward, and I felt shame, and I felt angry, and I immediately started justifying, well, if you just looked, how can you miss it? It's right there. And I felt this mixture of all these emotions over some damn beef broth. So I didn't say anything else, and it was awkward, and then he left for work, and then I was sitting there, and and then after I stopped all the crazy justifying that I did in my head, because I was really trying to make it so that I was right and he was wrong, after that, I said to myself, you know what, you should send him a text and apologize. So I promptly did admit it was about maybe 45 minutes after it had happened. But to me, that's the small 10-step moment. I mean, I don't like saying that. It was a small thing, so I'm not worried about it too much. But, you know, little things like that, for me, that's progress. For me, that's progress. Otherwise, I would have just gone home with it or just said, well, screw it. Screw you, it don't matter. With this program, thank God I've had a chance to live a better life on the outside, but what I didn't realize, I had no idea, no concept of how much better I feel on the inside. I think that's the biggest gift. I never thought I could be so happy. I never even imagined being so happy one day, let alone for, I don't know how many days I've been clean, throughout thousands of days. It's a whole new world for me. So with that, I'll keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.